Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Why is it the Cardinal players are shocked that Michael Floyd was released? I mean, come on. Are you guys kidding yourselves? Team nothing. We're shocked. Big headline. Shocked Floyd was released. I don't know. So he was asleep in his vehicle through two sets of lights. He changed his story, according to the police report. Shocked. Stunned. You're out of the playoffs. He's in a contract year. This really isn't that hard. There are things in life that are shocking, okay? A football player being released over not being very smart, and I'm being kind. Here's the worst part about Michael Floyd. Somebody is going to want him on their team here in the next 3 weeks. If you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you've got Mike Evans, and you're kicking it, you're killing it, but you need help at your other receiver spot, somebody will enable him again. Yeah, it's sad he's got a problem with alcohol. He had it at Notre Dame, but this was a first-round pick that flamed out. No other way to put it. So in our community, we're shocked. Just move on. You've done nothing this year on the football field. You've had a player who comes in a contract year who decides that it's just fine to not take, I don't know, spell Lyft. Use a Y when you do it. Spell Uber. I think you're being paid enough money to get away to get home rather than being at the W at 2 o'clock in the morning after you lose another game and really don't do a whole lot. Yeah, I'm a little pissed today because it's like we're better than this. We're just better than this. We're going to go to Vegas. I feel much better now. Jimmy Vaccaro is going to be with us, South Point Casino Resort. Jimmy, of course, the best in the business when it comes to the odds. We see Jimmy on ESPN every week, and it's good to have Jimmy with us. That'll be coming up in about 15 minutes. Burke Bacai is going to be with us today. Burke Bacai is a name that you need to know in the sporting community of Arizona. Why is that, you ask? He is the new governor. This ownership group that I've been raving about with Phoenix Rising FC, Burke Bacai, is at the top of that. He is the governor of it. You know, Kyle Ling took the team as far as he could take it, and he did a very good job. In late August, he handed it off to Burke. Burke and his group have come on board, and they're an impressive group. I'm very much looking forward to talking about the future of soccer in the Valley. We'll do that with Burke Bacai. That comes up on today's show as well. Senior Executive Vice President of Everything or Nothing, depending on the day, is Eric Sorensen. Our Chairman of the Board is Jared Nielsen. Is Jared playing hurt today, by the way? Is that just... Do we have a status update on Jared?
He's okay.
Yeah?
He's okay. At times we all play hurt, don't we?
Shut up. I don't play. Do I play hurt ever?
I saw you limping into the studio yesterday. So, yeah, you're definitely playing hurt.
I did 5+ miles at Disneyland one leg.
That's how it works when you go to Disneyland.
Yeah, but
you had like 35,000 steps in one day.
That's me. It was standing in line for the day. That's the way it goes. I'm in a fine mood today, this Michael Floyd thing. Where are you out of Michael Floyd? Am I off base here?
No. And I wasn't...
Shocked?
I just think it's funny that the Cardinal fans are just like, oh, we should have kept him because we could have got a compensatory draft pick if he left as an unrestricted free agent. Oh, man. When I did the write-up yesterday, Brad, for the site, sports360az.com, shameless plug.
Yeah, no, it's not even shameless.
I went back and I kind of researched his numbers.
Wouldn't have taken long.
He had a very, outside of his second season when he was over 1,000 yards, he had a very...
Pedestrian.
Average career.
Below.
Yeah.
It's a first-round pick, Eric.
He had 446 receiving yards through 13 games. Do the math. That's nothing. That's nothing special for a first-round draft pick.
That's like team nothing. All or nothing this year. They're team nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like we're piling on. Doesn't sound like we are piling on him because... Every week, it's like for the last 2 years, there'd be this breathless, so Michael Floyd caught a touchdown. This might be it. He might have turned the corner. No, because the following week he played with both hands squarely around his neck. He didn't do anything. And I was just tired of this. As a first-round pick, you don't come here and be one thing 1 week, and the next week you're not.
And I do applaud the Cardinals for cutting him.
Sure.
I think that's the right thing to do.
Absolutely. They're not going to re-sign him.
No.
So, look, the PR hit, they took the PR hit away. I'm not saying it was a strategic PR move, but if they had kept him on this team already out of the playoffs, what would be the point here?
I wonder how many millions of dollars he lost early Monday morning in Scottsdale, because you know the NFL, teams will pay for potential. Another team will be like, yeah, he didn't have a great
Tampa
4 years. Yeah, he didn't have a great four years with the Cardinals, but look at his size. Look at his hands. He's a former, he went to Notre Dame. He's got that pedigree. Let's pay him.
Well, but I'm even going to move it up further than that. I think this next week, somebody out there, you mean to tell me you're Tampa Bay, I just throw them out because they're beat up a wide receiver.
Well, you know who I'm thinking
of. The Vikings.
Besides the Vikings.
The Browns.
No.
The Raiders.
The Patriots.
Patriots, of course.
It's the perfect landing spot for him. Go to New England, rehab your image, and oh, by the way, hey, you might win a Super Bowl ring by being dumb.
That's true. What about Seattle? Because he'd be up there by next week.
Yeah.
And they've been beat up at receiver.
Someone will sign him, for sure.
Somebody will sign him.
For sure.
Unless, here's the thing on that.
Unless the NFL suspends him.
Unless there's a lot more behind that that we don't know. Because the police report, that's not good when you're asleep at the wheel through two sets of green lights. That's just, I don't think that's ever happened to me, and I don't drink and drive. I remember being really tired coming home a few nights. But when you're passed out at Scottsdale at Drinkwater, you know exactly where that is. That's just not good. So that's on my mind. Tonight's football game, it seems to me that Seattle should just crush the Rams tonight. Like, there's not very much intrigue, and yet I'm kind of looking forward to it. You know, Jeff Fisher gets blown out. The Rams aren't going anywhere. The players all said they were shocked. Come on, guys. They're going up to Seattle. Seattle needs to win. They haven't played well lately. You had Richard Sherman using the term poop fest when describing Thursday night football. I'm not making that stuff up. He said, it's a poop fest, and it's the NFL giving us, again, the middle finger. End quote. Richard Sherman. Some of you don't like Richard Sherman. I actually like Richard Sherman. I think he's a hell of a player, A. B, I think he's really smart and says some things. Yeah, can he be over the top? All of us can be over the top at some point in time. So I'm looking forward to the game tonight, even though it should be a blowout. GCU. So last night, I did find myself watching Grand Canyon University against the U of A. E, did you watch any of it last night?
Believe it or not, start to finish. I watched the entire Watched the entire game.
So you actually were over on ESPN News because the Oklahoma State game.
That's
ran
correct.
Long. That's where I was.
And then they randomly switched back to some show, and I was like, oh, the other game must be over. So I went back to ESPN.
I was sitting in my office, and my daughter's got her boyfriend in town from Chicago, and he's staying with us, right? So I've just been hiding out of my office trying to stay away from him the whole time. And I came up for air, and they're out there watching Netflix or wasting time, doing whatever they do, whatever those crazy 20-year-olds do. And I go back in, I watch the GCU game, and they played well. They played hard. I thought that that Dan had his team ready to go down there. I think you and I were both expecting 30, 40-point blowout last night or yesterday, right, when we talked?
I was more impressed with the way they played last night than when they played Louisville. Because it's easy to play well at home. It's difficult to go down to a place where no one ever usually plays well and keep the game within 10 to 12 points. I mean, we've seen NAU go down to U of A, and it's a 40 to 50-point slaughtering.
Yeah.
GCU is clearly...
We've seen Arizona State go down.
Correct.
We've seen
great
ASU
point.
Go down to Tucson, and they get destroyed most every time.
And GCU's, I mean, their record is 5-5, but look at their losses. U of A, Louisville, Duke. I mean, those are three of their five losses right there. So,
who was it? They lost to Penn State.
They lost to Penn State and then a directional school.
Yeah. And directional schools, it's... See, I was talking to somebody at ASU yesterday, and they were, you know, they've been hearing us, and they've been reading us, and hearing the noise, and about GCU and the fans, and they were like, well, yeah, but you know, they give incentives for their students to come. The instructors tell them to come to the games, and well, yeah, there's, and the problem with that is exactly what. I have no problem with that. Here is Sean Miller after the game. This is really interesting stuff here. Here's another coach. It was Rick Pitino 2 weeks ago just gushing over Dan Marley and GCU and their home crowd. This was on the road last night, late last night, Sean Miller in Tucson on Grand Canyon University and the job that they did against the Wildcats.
Well, I thought it was a very, very physical game, a much different game than we played at Missouri for sure. And that's the Grand Canyon's credit. They're one of the hardest playing teams we've faced in several seasons. You know, their size, when you look at them, they're a small team by height, but they more than make it up for it with just a, you know, dogged determination and a physical rebounding mentality. And just, you know, they play as physical and as tough-minded as a team that we've run into in a long, long time. And
okay, so when you say dogged determination, one of the hardest playing teams, they play as physical as any team that we've played. This will go back, because I had some of this sent to me last night from fans. And these are fans of ASU, of course, that are saying, well, Sean Miller wouldn't have said what he said last night, and Rick Pitino wouldn't have said what he said the other night if they weren't buddies with Jerry Colangelo, or if Sean didn't want to be involved with Team USA basketball. So again, there's the grassy knoll theory that again, these are people that will admit we're ASU fans. So you guys are just bothered by all the attention that GCU is getting here in town. And they may go out and lose to Mississippi Valley State, who they play Saturday night at home. They may not win another game. Doesn't matter. They have fans that show up on the road. If ASU hosted GCU, if Michael Crow got off his high horse, because he's all wound up about school, for-profit university, having players represent the team on the floor, which I'm saying, it's 2016, what's the problem with this? There's a stock price involved. What's the problem with this? So if they played that game at ASU, Eric, I'm betting there'd be more GCU purple in the stands than there'd be ASU colors. I really believe that what's going on in town and actually around the state, around Grand Canyon, is it's a game changer. It really is. At a time where most of the teams in town blow, most everything is not good right now when it comes to our Valley teams. It's just not. They're this little story that I think is growing and growing. I like that. Jimmy Vaccaro is next. South Point Casino Resort odds maker. 40 plus years in the business in Vegas. All the NFL games the coming weekend. Maybe some bowl game talk too. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Go to Vegas now as we get ready for the big NFL weekend. Jimmy Vaccaro with a South Point Casino Resort. Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Always good to catch up with Jimmy. Before, my friend, we get into the NFL this weekend, I am curious. We basically touched a little bit on the bowl games last week, but not in depth. What are you seeing, Jimmy, as bowl season starts this weekend? Actually, there's bowl games getting going. Where's the most action going on the bowl games so far?
Well, so far, the two biggest games, Brad, are the ones that everybody wants to see, the Ohio State game, the National, the Alabama game. We're over 16 with Alabama, a lot of money in on Alabama. The other game has been split action both ways. Ohio State, when we go to 3.5, there's a tendency to take the underdog, and when we go back to 3, there's a tendency to lay it through to Ohio State. But we put our jackpot parlay card out. We have our parlay cards out. And yes, you surely can tell when you reach the weekend. The people who know that they're not going to be here for New Year's week, they come and they bet those games now so they can have something to root for when they go home. But as I call event players, Brett, people that only show up 3 or 4 times a year and like to bet a large amount of money on games. And we had one of them already. We had some guy come in about 3 days ago, and it's a nondescript game, the Temple-Wake Forest game, and he wanted to know if he could bet $70,000 on Temple. Well, because all that time, we took it. So he had Temple minus 13 for $77,000 to win $70,000. But those are the type of players that you would get who normally won't be there every weekend but come for just one specific reason. And this guy came to bet Temple. He'll have a lot to root for in about 10 days.
70K on Temple. Wow. That's one of those that'll leave you just kind of, well, maybe not. I mean, you may look at that and say, that's not bad. So
you're right, kid.
Rams-Seahawks tonight, Jimmy. View from Vegas, South Point Casino Resort. Jimmy Vaccaro, Rams-Seahawks.
Well, the same old situation here. Obviously, they're a big favorite, a 14-point favorite, and we know who the favorite is. And obviously, the Rams now with a lot of things thrown up in the air the last few days with the getting rid of Fisher and how does the team react? Who knows? Nobody will know. And we had one of our guys who liked to bet these money lines. Now, money line is simply picking the winner of the game, no point spread involved. And naturally, when you have a 14-point favorite, you have to lay a lot of money to win if you just want to bet, say, the Seahawks to win the game without laying the 14 points. Well, we had one of those guys come in again. He bet $180,000 at 18-1 to win $10,000. So, it's a giving season, and people just love to show up for those things. But if the main stoppage of the Seahawks, the Rams, who knows who's going to show up? Last week was a monster game, and you saw after the opening kickoff, the Rams had no chance against Atlanta. I would figure Seattle to win the game, but you never know. Who knows what's going to happen? But 180,000 to win 10,000, I'm sure he'll be glued to the set.
We've got weather this weekend, maybe the coldest game in the history of the Bears from what we're hearing in reports. You've got Green Bay at Chicago. Packers are starting to figure it out. I guess you can't throw dirt on Aaron Rodgers like people were doing a month ago. Green Bay at Chicago, Jimmy.
Green Bay at Chicago, bring your overcoat. I guess the high will be 2 degrees. And with these type of games, Brad, what we do normally, because we're guessing like everybody else is, exactly what the weather's going to be like day of the game. But we do, obviously, to temper the unders in these games, even before we get there, where a game opened, this game opened 44, and we opened at 42.5 with the total, knowing that everybody knows what we know, which is like, looks like there is bad weather. And the cold really affects it more than the snow. The wind and the cold are the ones that drive these games under. But again, we take a little lead on the game and we move these games about a point and a half towards the under, knowing that people are seeing the same weather reports that we do. But it's going to be awful cold there, but we'll see what happens.
Really like how Tennessee has come along, and Kansas City, some people think could be the best team in the AFC that nobody's talking about. What do you make out of this game, Jimmy? I know it's not a headliner, but in some ways, maybe it is one of the best-kept secret games this week, Tennessee at Kansas City.
Well, Brad, they're all basically headlines because, you know, you can go from a 1 seed to a 5 seed in one afternoon anymore.
Yep, that's true.
And skipping real quick to the Dallas game, why I was so happy that they lost last week for two reasons. First of all, we needed the Giants. Second of all, Tampa Bay's coming on strong. And Dallas, if they would have won last week, they might have started resting players because they had everything sewed up. But when you have chaos, that's the best thing for a bookmaker. So getting back to the game that you mentioned, the Winston kid has come alive. Kansas City, you know, you can figure it out there. You're better than me. They really have been outgained in just about everything that they ran into this year, but they're playing well. They have the big stop during the game when they need it most. And they turn these trick plays into, obviously, you know, big turnaround too in the game. So not that I'm an Andy Reid fan, but I'm giving him a lot of credit this year for trying things a little bit different. He's got the guy, Alex Smith, we all know. You've heard about it a million times. He manages the game, doesn't get himself into too much trouble. And, they took care of Oakland last week, and we'll see what happens. And Tampa Bay was a big winner for us last week. Interesting game. It's priced where it should be. Two-way action. The Chiefs are a 6-point favorite. I don't think you'll see this game move much. Either it'll go to 5.5 or 6.5, but that's just because you'll be able to make a case for either team on two teams that are playing very, very well right now.
Two other games for Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino Resort. If you're headed up to Vegas this weekend, stop on in and put down a bob or two and check them out. Tampa Bay at Dallas, you mentioned the Cowboys. View from Vegas, Buccaneers, Cowboys.
Early on, some money on Tampa Bay. We've taken some money at plus to 7 there. But trust me, when the game comes Sunday afternoon, you'll see a lot of money on Dallas. As them and the Raiders have become America's team. So what you'll see is the wise guys jumped in early thinking that Tampa Bay is obviously playing much better than they have been. And they think that plus 7 might be a little bit of a bargain. But trust me, the Cowboys will show up Sunday afternoon and be a lot of money bet on them.
New England at Denver, and we'll let you go off that one. Patriots-Broncos.
Well, you're on your own here, pal. I mean, New England, they just keep winning. And you saw last week Brady just screaming on the sidelines. And it's very good. Broncos, maybe a little chink in the armor now. The other quarterback is really not what they thought he would be. And Denver needs this game like they need a transfusion. So I would consider that we're going to wind up needing Denver for a lot of money.
There's Jimmy Vaccaro. Appreciate the time as always, Jimmy. Thanks.
All right, buddy.
South Point Casino Resort. Appreciate Jimmy Vaccaro's time. So there's the football going on this weekend. We're going to switch gears on the other side. So those of you that have seen us through the years know that I've sat here and said, in full disclosure, I've done the play-by-play of Arizona United for the last 3 years. And when they went through their ownership change and Kyle Ing handed it off to a group that's very impressive, and I talked about them and that they're wanting to get a stadium together. And then they held their press conference a couple weeks ago when we were at that. And I think it's time to hear from Burke Bakai, who is the governor of Phoenix Rising FC, no longer Arizona United. And where is soccer at in the Valley? Because there's some huge news that they broke a couple weeks ago. And I think it's just time. I'm hearing from fans on who is this group? What is this group? And what are they all about here? It's because we know that soccer is something that we've wanted in the Valley for years and years. I've been there saying, let's get that fifth major. And this group, I think, has the capabilities of pushing it over the top. We'll talk about all things soccer with Burke Bakai on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmath. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Brad Sussmath with you, our football show. Brad Sussmath, Football AZ on Fox Sports Arizona. Three nights a week. You can check out the Arians. There's like 20 of them. Appreciate the partnership with Fox Sports Arizona as well. We're changing gears from football American style to football worldwide style. Phoenix Rising FC Governor Burke Bakai is with us in studio. And here's the thing on soccer. So when I say that it is worldwide, and we're here in Arizona, I mean it. The numbers, for those of you that have been in the Valley for a long, long time, you'll tell me, why do you do so much on soccer? Because, well, I grew up in San Diego. I want to see this work. I've covered teams for 20-plus years here in the Valley, and those teams come and go. Over the last few years, though, Kyle Ing got involved. I saw where Kyle took it. He took it as far as he could. Met Burke a couple, I think it was a year and a half ago.
That's right.
At a game. And you got involved more and more to the point where you brought in a group of 12.
Yes.
And these 12 are...
We have our own soccer team.
Yes.
and some reserves.
So you're the governor.
That's correct.
And let's just first get the fans, because I get these questions. Brad, tell me about Burke and what is his background and got you to the point of soccer. So let's just, sure, very basic. What got you to this point?
Okay, sure. So I was born in Istanbul, Turkey. And you talked about the sport and the world, basically involvement of the sport during the different countries, right? When you look at Turkey, that is the only sport. And, you know, the country went all the way up to the number three in the World Cup. So folks are very passionate. So I grew up as a kid, a very passionate fan of the sport. Tried playing, never was a good player.
Really?
But I wasn't. But nevertheless,
keeper or
no, I was a striker.
You're a striker.
Attacking midfielder, I played, and
you were getting attacked instead of attacking.
That's correct.
Yeah, I got
you. I wasn't good, but that's beside the point.
That's fine.
But I was lucky because my uncle was the co-president of a club called Galatasaray, which is certainly the best club in Turkey. And we have 20 championships in the Turkish League. It was founded in 1905. It has 26 million fan base. Mm. And it's the only Turkish club that actually won a UEFA championship and also the Super Cup against Real Madrid. So big following. And being in that environment, I was rubbing elbows with players like Tafarel or Jorge Hagi. So certainly being close to that environment and breeding that puts the seeds of the passion at very early age. And that goes without saying that maybe a handful of games during the years that I lived in Turkey. So when I was born all the way until 18 years old, I don't think I missed more than 3 or 4 home games during those, 18 years.
So you loved it. You loved it.
Passionate.
When did you start to get an itch about being an owner of a soccer franchise?
I would say as soon as I moved to Phoenix, which was about 4.5 to 5 years ago.
What brought you here?
I'm a president and CEO of a company called Corner Grill. Mm-hmm. It's a publicly traded company.
Very good food.
Thank you.
Very good food.
I appreciate it. I'm the largest shareholder of the company, so we are based here in Scottsdale, Arizona. So when I Came here, I came to run the company. I've been involved more than 5 years, but I was on the board before. So when I came here, the reason was to run the company because our headquarters are here.
So you're running Kona Grill and you look around the landscape and you see all these sports franchises, I'm guessing.
Yes.
And what drew you over to Arizona United at the time? When did that process start?
Sure. Well, great question. For a couple of points I like to make. First of all, you look at statistics like 100,000 kids in the United States in the 1970s that are registered with the federation and associations. And then you look at that number swelling to 3 million. So 30 times in 40 years. I'm a numbers guy. I have a master's degree in finance. I focus on numbers. So when you look at the trends and when you see, as you mentioned, the biggest sport in the world and where it's going in this country, from if you have the passion for it, which I do, if you have the background for it, which I do.
Growing up, seeing it,
being in that environment on how bigger clubs are run. Mm-hmm. And then you look at it from a community perspective. I think it's one of the most amazing things that you can do to try to put a great group of owners together to have a team that everybody can be proud of. You put all of the ingredients together, then you need to just, to your point about Arizona United, Dan, like what attracted me to that is frankly USL and what USL was able to achieve as a league.
United Soccer League, for those that aren't aware, it's the tier below the MLS.
Correct.
It's right below the MLS, and it's here in Phoenix.
That's correct. 29 teams currently. I believe it's 19 states in the United States and 3 provinces in Canada. But if you look at the development of the league, and I said this before on my previous interviews, I really do believe somebody needs to write a Harvard Business School case about Alec, who's the president and CEO of USL, and his team and what they have really able to accomplish. You look at it on franchise fees going somewhere in the 20-fold range in last 3-4 years.
Yep.
You look at a number of the teams basically doubling in last couple of years. And you look at the whole pyramid of U.S. soccer and you look at USL and what USL was able to done compared to everything else. It is remarkable. I don't know if you know this. The attendance was up 35% in the league last year with 1.5 million fans physically being in the games. Some of the other teams in our league were able to draw over 20,000 fans on a consistent basis.
Yeah, Sacramento.
Cincinnati and Sacramento. Yeah. Cincinnati had the attendance records. So we really need to rally our wonderful city here, a great valley, and try to draw the similar level of interest. Frankly, we have all the ingredients for it.
Well, and I want to get to all of that. I'm curious, though, we're talking with Burke Bakai. He is the Phoenix Rising FC governor. This ownership group, we'll get into that a little bit later. What is it, Burke, that you've been able to take from Kona Grill and that business and bring over to this business that you feel like gives you an advantage? Because what I've seen through 20-plus years here is a lot of owners have come and gone, and a lot of them have good intentions. Some of them did not have good intentions. Mm-hmm. Some of them just thought, we're going to drop down a stadium, and we're going to make some money, and we're going to get out. And it hurt the valley. What is it, though, that your other business has brought that you think helps you and gives you an advantage to make this work?
Sure. My number one philosophy, it's all about people. And I'm lucky enough to lead an organization that has 4,600 employees. Mm. And under my leadership, we have added 2,300-2,400 team members to our team. So I know a thing or two about building a successful team. And I think that's, I would say, what I can bring to this organization. And my first, attempt to this is always putting a world-class ownership group together, which you know some of those folks, dear friends, and everybody brings something that is different to the table. A lot of the folks have different skill sets in this ownership group, which is very interesting.
You have a baseball player, Brandon McCarthy. You have Diplo and Pete Wentz.
We have real estate experts. We have advertising and media legends. So we have world-class attorneys.
Yeah.
We got amazing surgeons. I mean, we have...
I think the only downside is you have Jose Bosch is, I mean, he's had a PR, by the way. That's a little inside joke, but Jose just deserves to get beat on because he's Jose.
I'm worried about Jose because I don't think he sleeps.
Yeah, no,
he does tweet a couple of seconds after things happen, so it's almost like a live.
There's nothing good, nothing wrong with that. All right, so that let's go through then the name change, because fans said, why do they change the name?
Sure.
So, and we've got some video here of this event that I was at over at Talking Stick. It was kind of fun. It was not kind of, it was fun. There's like
standing room only.
200 people in this room, and you went from Arizona United to Phoenix Rising
Football Club.
Football Club. So let's talk about what went into that.
Sure. Number one thing that I will mention is clean slate. So you have, to your point, even with some good intentions with other owners, like you mentioned, I did not want with my partners to be part of other brands, so to speak, that are in the valley. But we wanted to have a fresh start, right? So Phoenix Rising Football Club is really the first page of that. So we really wanted to get started with a new name, you know, new jerseys, new logos, new home. Mm-hmm. If you look at some of the ingredients of, in my opinion, what makes or breaks a successful soccer franchise in any city is combination of a couple of things, right? You need to have, first of all, it's all about people, like I said. So you need to have the right ownership that could and has to empower the right management for the team on day-to-day basis, which we're exceptionally lucky to have Bobby Dooley, that I know you met.
COO.
Absolutely. That yeah. He's doing a fantastic job. You need to empower him. And my advantage is with the team of 11, 12 owners, you have the advantage of creating these small subcommittees mm-hmm. that really assist Bobby and his team on different areas of expertise, finance, you know, stadium building, fan experience. I mean, those are just some of the few areas that our group have different, you know, leadership that they can bring to the table. And we have done that. So then a couple of other ingredients is home. Right. So we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, we're going to do it a little bit.
Yeah. But again, the whole branding, while we're making and going through so many changes, we thought it was important that we start with a clean slate.
And it's a good look. It's Phoenix Rising FC. We're going to get into the games and when they're going to get started for the coming season.
Yes.
Also, there is some confusion, I think, from some fans thinking there's going to be this big stadium built in 3 months. That's not happening, but there is a stadium that is going to be coming here soon, a facility to play, and we'll get into that on the other side. Burke Bakai, Phoenix Rising FC Governor, in studio with Brad Sussmat. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. Stay with us. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Brad Sussmat, again, our football show on Fox Sports Arizona. With several airings during the week, we're talking football on the worldwide stage here with Phoenix Rising FC Governor Burke Bakai in studio. And I appreciate all your time today, by the
way. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Let's turn our attention now to you're going to start playing at a different field. So
yes.
These are questions I get. The days of being at a baseball stadium are gone. Okay.
Absolutely gone.
So let's talk about the location. I think we've got some scalings and drawings and all that.
Sure.
The location of where you guys are going, how it's being financed, questions that fans have been asking me.
Yes, I got that question asked every single time. To clarify, there will be zero tax dollars utilized to build our pop-up stadium. So it's all internally financed by us.
Pop-up stadium means it's a temporary facility with
Correct.
Bigger on the horizon.
Correct.
So let's just go pop-up first, the location, what that's going to look like for the coming
sure.
year.
Sure. So 101 and McClintock is the location. It's in the basically South Scottsdale, very close to the Tempe. There it is, very close to the Tempe Marketplace. You could see there is about 510 acres of land there, which we have taken 15.6 acres of. And basically the land that we have, it is appropriate for future development mm-hmm. of a bigger stadium that you can see the renderings of. But in the meantime, our vision is, first thing that I want to clarify, first home game, the vision is to have this ready, right? So, and that will be either sometime late March or early April. USL schedules are not published yet. So, but if you look historically, those are pretty much the season goes from the late March to early October or late September. So those will be the the kind of the range.
And the pop-up stadium will be a temporary facility for a couple of years, Berkey?
Sure. I would hesitate to give you an exact timeline. Okay. On that. It really depends on a couple of things. But what I can tell you is that fans will have a great fan experience because for me, again, growing up with the sport,
sure,
it's all about creating that experience because I lived and breathed it, right? So I'm the fan number one, so to speak, and I want to make sure that we create that environment. And frankly, to give credit to Sacramento in our league, at Bonnefield, they have done a great job at putting a pop-up stadium. Their capacity is bigger than what we initially are going to do. But hopefully, if and when our fans, fill that early on, we have an ability to, increase our capacity. But initially, we'll come out with 6,000. It's bleacher-type seating, but it will have the seat backs.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be comfortable. Certainly, coming from a food and beverage industry, I have passion for food, so you can expect a great experience from food trucks, many different food trucks.
Kona Grill have a food truck, ever? they are yet now.
No. But I'll open it to the community. It's not about me. I will open it to the community and welcome everybody that wants to participate. It's all about giving a wide range of experience to all of our fans.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it will be a U shape, so to speak, seating arrangement. And we'll have our practice fields, obviously next to it. So it'll be our home. That'll be our flag.
So to take from the pop-up, take me through the grand vision of this plot of land, not even a plot, this whole area, and what you expect it to look like when it is all built out. Because the ultimate goal is the MLS is going to look at this and say, sure, we've got to get to Phoenix. Phoenix is the only top 10 market in the country that does not have an MLS franchise. This ownership group has put it all together.
Sure.
This is why we're going. So give us a full view of what you want it to look like.
Sure. I think first things, a couple of things I want to clarify. Again, we're in the fastest growing professional soccer league in the United States, and that's USL. I am very much proud with my co-owners to be part of that organization. As I said, you have 1.5 million fans, 35% attendance increase. We just had our owners meeting in Clearwater, Florida, and it's an amazing group of people, multiple billionaires, very successful people in their own businesses. So we are extremely comfortable being part of the organization that we are. Having said that, as you said, this is the largest market left in the United States that doesn't have an MLS franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And to my knowledge, in the history of MLS, there has never been a situation where an MLS franchise was awarded at a market that there was already an existing USL franchisee without that USL franchise being part of this.
Got it.
So just everything else being equal, we are very well positioned to be the folks that really prove with the support of our fans that professional soccer works in the Valley. I think for that, you need a home that is soccer specific, which we're doing, create a great fan experience so fans can show up. You need the demographics, which we have. And then you need to execute.
You also have the location. The credibility of the location, to me, whenever I've seen it through the years, that the center of the Valley is the 101 and the 202.
Absolutely.
And the quicker that people get around that, I know downtown is fighting with the baseball team, and I know they're right in it with the Suns. That's their deal, okay? But the fact that you went to where the center is going to be, it actually is in a lot of places. The 101, 202, the access, I think you're going to blow right through 6,000. I would be stunned if you were at 6,000 a year or two from now. I really would.
No, me too, by the way. But, we want to make sure that we're, basically walking before we're running, right? So you want to set it up appropriately from day one, fill that. Mm-hmm. And even within season, we'll have an ability to add on it. So I'll challenge our fans to come out and fill it up, and I promise to write the checks to make it bigger.
Wow.
So
we're rolling on that.
You can.
Anything else you want to add that I haven't asked you about this whole experience for you, your partners, people you feel like deserve a little bit of a credit here? I know that you've been able to work with the reservation. You've been able to work with lots of people to make this happen. Anything else you want to add?
I would say I've been privileged to be part of many different organizations from a business perspective, multiple boards or running companies. But as I said on our press event, I have not worked with a group of people this passionate that was able to put something so special together so fast. I think we're the 90th day of our ownership, or maybe we just passed that. Mm. But when we rolled our brand, new branding, and new home, just imagine a little bit credit to my partners and myself here. When you talk about a land that is the prime spot in our valley, that land just didn't pop up yesterday, right? So it's been there forever. So yes, for somebody to come and cut a deal in a few months, hopefully is an indication with the internal resources, right? Hopefully is an indication of the collective talent of our
No, you're serious. Group. You're serious yeah. about this. This is not a hit and run. Because
no.
I've sat a
no.
lot. I've
no,
sat
it's not.
A lot of people that have talked a good game, but I've been thoroughly impressed top to bottom with what you guys have been able to do here, what your group's been able to do. And I expect great things to come. I appreciate you coming in. Come back sometime.
Thank you. Will do. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Bert Bakai with us in studio. Sports360AZ.com. And by the way, it's Phoenix Rising FC. You can go to their website, Phoenix Rising FC. And if you miss any part of this interview, it will replay, of course, on the stream. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now. Pro college, high school college pro makes no difference to me. We're Arizona-centric. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Eric Sorensen, our senior executive vice president of everything or nothing, depending on the day. And I'm Brad Milsley, everything. And I'm Brad Sussmat. Enjoy your day.